in Isaiah chapter 66 this morning. Every time it'd be a holiday or kind of a special day, you know, Mother's Day, Father's Day, you know, whatever. You know, I used to always say a lot, you know, I don't always preach on the theme of the day, but, and then I'd preach on the theme of that day, you know. And then Kelby said, Brother Jacob, you say that, but you preach on the theme of the day every time. So it's the theme of the day, so I'm just going to go ahead and preach it because I don't want to disappoint Kelby this morning. So Isaiah chapter 66. If you found your place, let's stand one last time in reverence to the reading of the Word of God. And I just want to read one verse here and look at a statement that God makes through His prophet. And He is talking to Israel, talking to His people. And what's being dealt with here in this chapter, without just reading the whole chapter and getting the whole context, I'll just kind of give you a little bit of it just so you kind of know what's going on here. We all know that context is everything. Isn't that right? We major on that around here. The context is everything. You can't just pull a verse out and you hear a preacher talk about it, he'll say, I'm just going to lift this verse out and preach from this verse. Sometimes that's very, very far from that verse, isn't that right? Because context is everything. So just to give you a little bit of the context, God here is speaking through Isaiah, speaking through His man. And what's being dealt with is the future restoration of Israel. And thank God that every promise He made to Israel will still come to pass. Amen. There still will be a restoration. And Israel will be everything God wanted, God intended and promised that Israel would be as a nation. Amen? And don't ever forget that. That's very, very important. We major on it. So we say things like that a lot, but that's very important because if God could change His mind about Israel, God could change His mind about you. And if God could take His promises away from Israel just because of some things that Israel did, and just because of disobedience by Israel, well, then God could take His promises away from you because some bad things you've done and because of your disobedience, too. I think we've all been disobedient ever since we've been saved, isn't that right? Even since we've been saved, we've done things we shouldn't do, and we're not what we ought to be all the time. Thank God we're not what we used to be, and we're not what we're going to be, but we're also not always what we ought to be, and we understand that. And so God's talking about the future restoration of Israel, what He's going to do with His people. And in the middle of this context, and in the middle of Him talking about what's going to take place within His national people, He makes a statement in verse number 13. He says, "As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem." You know, I read this verse and I thought about this verse. And it's interesting that when God wanted something to compare Himself to in regards to what He would be to His people, of all creation and of all things He could have used as an illustration, as a metaphor, as an example, of all of it, He used a mother to compare the comfort that He was going to give to His people. And I thought, what a compliment that is to motherhood. And so I want to preach to you for just a few minutes this morning on God's compliment to motherhood. Let's pray. Father, I thank You, Lord, for this day. Lord, I thank You that more than anything else, this is the Lord's day. This is Your day. And Lord, we have come and assembled ourselves together once again, Lord, to acknowledge You and to worship You, Lord, and Your people. Lord, all the way back to the beginning of the church, where we've come as they did, Lord, to celebrate the resurrection. And Lord, we thank You, Lord, that You are alive. And Lord, we thank You that there's coming a resurrection one of these days. There's a glad getting up morning. And it won't be long now, Lord, till we see Your blessed face. Lord, we won't be long, Lord, till You come back for us. And Lord, we make the cross. And Lord, we thank You for that. Thank You that it's our blessed hope. And we thank You that there's something beyond this veil of tears. God, I thank You for what You have done for us. And Lord, everyone here this morning that's saved by Your grace, Lord, we praise Your name. And Lord, we thank You, Lord, that, Lord, it is Your day. And Lord, we thank You that it's Mother's Day. And Lord, it's a time, Lord, when we've just kind of set aside as a nation, Lord, to honor mothers and Lord, to think about and Lord, to look to our mothers and be thankful. And Lord, as your people, Lord, we don't glory the way the world does, Lord, we do it, Lord, glorifying you and what you've done in motherhood. Lord, giving us the mothers that you've given us. And Lord, blessing us, Lord, with the mothers that we have. And Lord, for the mothers that are here, Lord, blessing them to be mothers. Lord, we just praise your name. Lord, we glorify you and all that you have done. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us, God, as we've come to this time of preaching. Lord, please help me, Lord, to say what you'd have me to say, Lord, to deliver the burden of my heart, God, and to help your people. Lord, I pray that you would take over and take control. Lord, set a watch and a gate over my lips this morning to help me, God, not to say anything that embarrasses you. Lord, I pray that your word would go forth in power and in demonstration of the Holy Ghost. I pray, Lord, for that sinner that may be here among us that's lost without God, Lord, never repented and believed the gospel and been truly born again. Lord, I pray that today would be the day of salvation. I pray, Lord, that they would taste and see that the Lord is good, or they would be born again and made a new creature in Christ, Lord, and serve the living God. Lord, I pray for your people that we'd be encouraged and uplifted, but reprove, rebuke us where we need it. I just pray your will would be done amongst us, and we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Again, as we look at this verse, we think that when God could wanted something to compare himself to, he chose a mother. And particularly, he chose a mother in regards to this thing of comfort. He tells his people Israel that he will be as a mother comforting her child, and that's what he is going to be to them. And again, what a compliment that is to motherhood. Of all he created, he chose a mother as his illustration. And I'm sure probably all of us could agree with God on this, isn't that right? And well, I mean, really, you can agree with God on everything he says, but we can really feel this, isn't that right? That there's no comfort beyond that comfort that you get from your mother, amen? I tell you, my boys, they'll fall and hurt themselves or bang their head against something, and when I'm over there laughing about it, they're running to mama, and mama's comforting them, isn't that right? I tell them to get up and shake it off and be tough, you know, but mom's always there to comfort, and they want mama first, isn't that right? Whenever they get up in the middle of the night and they've had a bad dream or they got something's hurting or they're not feeling good, the side of the bed they run to is mama's, amen? And so we all understand and know the comfort of a mother. And what a compliment it is to motherhood that God would make to even compare himself to that, amen? I mean, really, I know I've said it, but just think about that. Of all the things he could have used, he chose to use a mother. And so in thinking about God's compliment to motherhood, I want to just kind of talk about a few things. The thing is, this morning, there's really so much said in the Bible about motherhood. There's so many examples of mothers, both good and bad examples. There's godly and ungodly examples. There's so much said as far as instruction on motherhood. So many things that could be talked about. And so this certainly will not be an exhaustive message, but I want to just maybe talk about a few things. And with this thought in mind of God's compliment to motherhood here, I want to give you a few things the Lord put on my heart about motherhood. And a few things I want to say. First of all, I want to say regarding motherhood and God's compliment to it, that motherhood is perfect. Motherhood is perfect. Motherhood is made in the image of God. And we find that in this statement. Again, if all the things that God could have used to compare himself to, he compared himself to a mother. He used the idea and he used the creation of motherhood as his example. Now, we know that all mothers are not perfect. And all of us that would testify of a godly mother and thank God for our mother and thank God for a godly mother. And by the way, if you have a godly mother, you ought to thank God for her. Amen? Listen, there's a lot of young people out there this morning that would to God they had a godly mother. Amen? Listen, there's a lot of preachers and men that I know right now who are in the ministry and serving God, but when they look back to the years, they did not have a godly mother. They're saved and serving God in spite of their mother in a lot of ways. Amen? And so most of us here have a godly mother, and you ought to thank God for that, and you ought to honor her, and you ought to praise the Lord for her, and you ought to speak well of her, and you ought to exalt her, and you ought to promote her. Amen? Because motherhood isn't easy. Amen? But I will say this, even though all mothers are not perfect, motherhood certainly is perfect because it was made in the image of God. You know, God designed, it is in His design, this whole idea of motherhood. God made that. God did that. Whenever He created man in His own image, He made man first, and out of man's side, He created a woman. Amen? And He made her a mother. Amen? And he told them to go forth and to be fruitful and multiply and all those things. But you know, as we look at where we are in this hour, I think days like today are so important in the church because it always gets us back to the Bible and always gets us back to be reminded that God really has done all of this. Isn't that right? I mean, I know the world will celebrate mothers and they'll get very sentimental. But listen, we want to go beyond all that here in the church. Isn't that right? Listen, we don't want to be caught up in just the sentimental sensationalism of the day and you know, those things. Those are all well and good. Praise God for it. But listen, we want to get deeper than that and realize that God has done this. Amen? Listen, great things He hath done. And if you had a godly mother, and if you've had the privilege of being a mother, God has done that. Amen? And it's the Lord who has done it. And in this day and in this hour, this is why I think days like this are so important and messages like this are so important. Because in this hour that we are living in, the devil and this world system is doing all they can to rob humanity of the perfection that is motherhood. Amen. Jesus said in Luke chapter 23, in verse number 29, He said, "For behold, the days are coming." They are coming, and they're here, brother. They're here. He said that 2,000 years ago, and they're here now. He said, "The days are coming in which they shall say, 'Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never gave suck.'" There's a lot of application there, and the Lord's talking about several different things. There's a lot going on in the context there. But I don't know about you, but it seems to be that is the philosophy of this hour that we are living in. Isn't that right? It seems that young ladies and young couples are more interested in not having children than they are having children. And you know, that is so backwards and mixed up and perverted. That is so far from what the Bible says. Listen, having a child and being a mother is perfect in the eyes of God. It is a blessing in the eyes of God, and it's a blessing to man. Listen, I don't know about you, but if you read this, but just last week I read where they found a baby, a human baby, in the sewer system in Pontotoc. They called it a fetus, but we're God's people. We're not deceived by that. Amen. We're saved people. We're not deceived in calling it a fetus. Amen. That's a medical term to dehumanize these little babies. Amen. Listen, it is not a fetus. It is a baby. It is a child. And somebody did not want that thing. Somebody hated the idea of being a mother so much that they put it in the sewer. Amen. That is the day that we are living in, where motherhood seems to be despised and motherhood seems to be rejected and it's looked down upon. And you are a great person and you're a hero, and you're a great thing if you're a lady boss, and if you're successful in a career, and if you've got lots of degrees, and you've got lots of accolades, and you're making a lot of money, and you don't need a man, and you're the independent woman. That is what is promoted in our day. But I want you to know that motherhood is still perfect. Amen. And it's still a blessing in the eyes of God. And it's amazing that we've come to a time where young couples, they don't get married to have children anymore. They get married to have cats and dogs. Isn't that right? And I tell you, we're in a wicked society. Whenever people would love their dog more than they love a kid. Isn't that right? Listen, you'll go to jail for kicking a dog, but listen, you're promoted. And abortion is a great thing, and it's heroic, and it's wonderful. And I'll tell you what it is. It's a sign that we have strayed so far from God, and we're in the days that Jesus said we would be in, where they are saying, "Blessed are the wombs that never bear." Amen. But listen, I want to remind you that motherhood is perfect. It was created by God. I want you mothers and mothers-to-be to know that you are perfect for what God has called you to do. And you are imperfect for what God has not called you to do. Woman was not called to head up society. Woman was not called to drive and turn the wheels of society and economy. Women was not called to put on breeches like a man and bob her hair off like a man and go to work like a man, fight like a man, spit like a man, talk like a man, walk like a man. Woman was not designed to be a man. Isn't that right? Listen, you are perfect for what God has designed you to be. You are wonderful for what God has designed you to be. But you're far out of place when you go the way this society tells you to go. Amen? Motherhood is perfect. Listen, being a helpmeet is perfect in the eyes of God because God designed it. And that's where our fulfillment is found, in being in the will of God. Amen? And I say praise God for godly mothers. I say praise God for the ones that want to do it God's way. Don't you? Amen? In Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 18, it says, "The Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet from him." He made her to do what no one else could do. Amen? And you men need to be reminded. We men need to be reminded. Nobody can do for us what our wives can do for us. Amen? And children need to be reminded that no one can do for you what mama can do for you. And mothers need to be reminded that no one can do for your husband and no one can do for your children what God has called and designed you to do. Amen? Listen, Hillary Clinton can go jump in a lake. Amen? It doesn't take a tribe. It doesn't take a community to raise children and have a godly home. It takes the Spirit of God. Amen? And it takes a mother in that home, the heart of that home, doing what God has called her to do. Motherhood is perfect in the eyes of God. Amen? You can't get beyond perfect. Amen? Listen, grandma can't do what God's designed you to do. And daycare can't do what God's designed you to do. And the school system can't do what God's designed you to do. Amen? The church can't even do what God has designed you to do. The preacher can't do what God has designed you to do. Amen? Listen, God has made you a mother, and motherhood is perfect, and it's the high call of God, and you can't do any better than the high call. You can't do any better than the perfection. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, if God permits, and I know God doesn't always permit, but if God permits a young lady to marry and bear children, it is the highest calling that she will ever experience. Amen. Being president of the United States does not exceed and go beyond the call to motherhood. In Titus chapter 2, verse number 3, the Apostle Paul, writing under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, when God could have said anything, and when God could have told him to say anything, God said this. He said, "The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women." Now this is what God said. When God could have told those older women to teach the woman, young women anything, He could have told them to teach them to have a career. He could have told them to teach them that they don't need a man. He could have told them to teach them to go out and get an education. He could have told them to teach them, you know, to set yourself up so that if something ever happens, you'll be able to make it. God could have told them to teach them that. But this is what God told the older women to teach the younger women. Teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. To love their children. He goes on to say, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Now, I don't know about you, that sounds like a command to me. That sounds like what we're supposed to be doing. That sounds like what God's supposed to be doing. In other words, if that's not what you're doing, you're not right with God. If that's not how you're living, then you can't be in the will of God. If that's not what you're striving to do and striving to be, then you are under the curse of God, not the blessings of God. Isn't that what it says? See, in all the illustrations God could have used, He used a mother because motherhood is perfect. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for my mother. And I'm thankful for the good mother that God gave me and a wife to my children, because motherhood is perfect. Would to God that His people would get back to that philosophy. That of all the things I can do, listen, of all the things the world says I could do, I want to do what God wants me to do. Amen. Listen, I know the idea of motherhood is looked down upon. It's scoffed at by the world. As a matter of fact, you'll get asked questions like this. Do you work? as if being a mother and keeping a home and being a helpmeet and serving God, as if that's not work, right? Amen? Do you work? Listen, motherhood is perfect in the eyes of God. We ought to all thank God for it. Number two, though, motherhood isn't just perfect. Motherhood is a privilege. You know, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, it said, God blessed them and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. I appreciate Miss Wolstein's testimony talking about being so proud of having a child and God blessing her, because it is a blessing and it is a privilege. It's a high call and it's an honor that God would choose ladies to be that vehicle through which the world will be blessed and fruitful and replenished and multiplied. It's an honor. It's a privilege. Psalm 127, verse number 3, God said, lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. Amen. You are blessed if you have been given a child and allowed to be a mother. And motherhood is a privilege. You remember Rebecca? Over in Genesis 24, in verse number 60, it says, whenever she was, they had gone to get Isaac a bride, right? Abraham had sent his servant to go find a bride for his son, you know, and they went, and he's arguing. He's like, you know, they're not going to go with me. I mean, they're going to think I'm crazy and all these things. But anyways, he obeys and he goes, and God puts that whole thing together, and God shows him that Rebekah's the one. Amen. By the way, that's what all young men ought to be looking for God to show him who the one is. Amen. And so he shows him that Rebekah's the one, and that whole thing starts coming together, and lo and behold, she's going to go back with him. She's going to marry Isaac. And in verse 60 of chapter 24 of Genesis, they're about to send her off, and her family is seeing her off as she's going to her husband. And it says, and they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, thou art our sister, be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them. Amen. In other words, the blessing upon her was, listen, go and have children. May God bless you with children. May God bless you with many children. Amen. How many of you women want to have thousands of millions? Amen. Listen, God is putting the exclamation point on the fact that having a children and being a mother is a privilege and it is a blessing from God. Amen. It's amazing how the more ungodly our society gets, the smaller our families get. People talk about days gone by, all the children people used to have. How bizarre it is. You know, a big family now is a family that's got 5 kids. That was a small family 100 years ago. You know, 5 kids. I used to work for a fella and he got 5 kids, and that's what everybody used to talk about. He's that guy with all them kids. 5 kids, like that's an army or something. They ain't even got enough for a good baseball team, you know. They ain't even got enough for a starting lineup, you know. But he's the guy with all the kids, and that's that. Really, that is, though, that is a big family by today's standards. It's been dropping off for a long time. Ever since back in the 90s, it's been declining. I'll tell you what also has been declining in our society too is godliness. And it's amazing as we drift further and further from God. We get more and more in tune with what we want, get more and more given over to our flesh and what we want. The more self-centered and the more self-consumed, the less and less people want children. Amen. But listen, in the Bible, godly ladies, they desired children. They viewed it as a privilege. They viewed it as an honor. Remember Hannah back in 1 Samuel? Look over in 1 Samuel chapter 1. I want to show you some verses over here. We probably all know all these, but I want to show you these. Look in 1 Samuel chapter 1. Look with me in verse number 4. If you're there, say amen. Kelby? All right. Verse 4, and when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Sounds a little backwards from now. Somebody, now ladies are expecting child, they weep and don't eat when they are expecting. But she's weeping and not eating because the Lord shut up her womb. She's barren. It says, then said Elkanah her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? Why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunken. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial. For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord. I tell you, we have a pretty good illustration, pretty example right there of the privilege of motherhood. Hannah has a barren womb, and I hate it so bad for the ladies that desire children so badly and pray and haven't had any. But that's where Hannah is, and she prays, and God answers her prayer, and she finds out that being a mother is a privilege from God. She names him Samuel because she's gotten him from God. It's a privilege. Number three, motherhood is productive. It is productive. You know, if you're a mother here this morning, even if you don't feel like it, even if you haven't felt like it, I want to remind you, I want you to know that you're accomplishing more than you realize you're accomplishing. If you set your heart to do it God's way, if you set your heart to honor the Lord and honor His Word, and no matter what anybody else says, no matter what anybody else thinks, no matter what direction society's going in, you're going to do it God's way, and you're striving to be like Jesus and do what God wants you to do, I want you to know that you're doing more than you realize. You're being more productive than you realize. We all understand, and ladies especially understand, those that are mothers realize that motherhood, God's way especially, isn't always easy. But you know, doing anything God's way isn't always easy. That's why so few are doing it God's way. If motherhood God's way was easy, everybody would be doing it God's way. See, what the world wants and what society wants is the blessing of godly motherhood, but they don't want to put forth the sacrifice of godly motherhood. They want children who are respectful. They want little children that act right. They want a godly home and want God's blessings on their home. They want all those things. They want all the things that they see as the fruit of godly motherhood. They want children that love God and do right and live for God and, you know, act right and, you know, not tearing everything up all the time. They want all that. Everybody wants that. But they don't want to do it God's way, because God's way is not always the easy way. It's a lot easier to plop them down in front of a TV than it is to deal with them sometimes. It's a lot easier to stick a tablet in their hand to occupy them than it is to get a belt out. It's a lot easier to, you know, put them off on somebody or put them somewhere else than, you know, just to get them out of your hair. But listen, doing it God's way has great rewards and great fruits, great blessings. I've seen that in my own life from my godly mother. I've seen it in my own life through my wife, who's a godly mother and who I believe to be a wonderful mother. But it's not easy, and that's why so few are doing it God's way. And in many ways, though rewarding, being a godly mother God's way is a pretty big sacrifice. In fact, by today's standards, it's a very big sacrifice. You may not be able to have all the four-wheelers and bass boats and fishing rods and deer rifles that you want, men. You may not be able to keep paying the hunting lease. I'm talking to the men right now, by the way. All the men. A lot of men got their women out there working when they don't have to be, when they could be at home being the keeper at home that God wants them to be, but instead they want other toys, so they got her working. It's going to be a sacrifice for you, men. It's going to be a sacrifice for you, ladies. It's going to be a sacrifice. And so in many ways, though we're warning, it's a sacrifice. But, you know, one of those sacrifices is at times the feeling of accomplishment. And you mothers, I'm sure, would understand that. The monotony of motherhood can be one of the biggest challenges, can't it? When you've cleaned the house 15 times and you turn around and a two-year-old, I mean, it's amazing how fast, like, a little person this tall can destroy a room, you know. I mean, I'm talking like less than an hour. You mean, it's perfectly clean. You turn around one time, you come back, and it looks like, you know, a tornado hit it. You know, when you've cleaned the house 15 times and you've gotten it, you know, you keep getting it and it's just, you know, everything's undone that you keep doing. When you feel like you're trying to do right and you're trying to do the best and just it just seems like it's just, you just never get accomplished. You never can get anything done. I want to remind you that being a mother and motherhood is productive. If you're doing it God's way, you may not see the fruit of it now, but little by little, God is using a mother, a godly mother, to plant seeds into the heart of a child and plant seeds into the heart of a home that will bring forth fruit one of these days. You know, that godly, that virtuous woman in Proverbs 13, listen, her children didn't rise up and call her blessed overnight. Amen. All those things that took place, and they didn't happen overnight. Listen, Timothy's grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice, listen, they didn't see the fruit of him having the Word of God in his heart overnight. But one of these days, he grew up to be a man of God. Motherhood is very productive. Motherhood, I want to say number four very quickly, is not is it just productive, but it's also very powerful. The saying is that the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. And it's not Bible, but it's a very true statement. I don't know about you, but I look at my life and I say that I personally am a testimony of both the grace of God and the power of a godly mother. I have no sympathy, and I can empathize, but I cannot sympathize. There's a difference. And I can't empathize with people because I have been where they are in what I'm about to tell you. But I have no sympathy for it. These guys in the jail and these folks out here that complain about, you know, and justify their life, justify their actions because they came up in a home, you know, with a split up home and a broken home, no daddy and all those things. Listen, I know that's a very real thing. And that's one of the major problems in our society. But listen, it's no excuse to not live for God. Amen. And for a mother that's in that situation, that position, it's no excuse just to throw your godliness away and throw your home away and throw your children away. Because I grew up in a broken home. I grew up in a split up home. And for many years, it was just me and my mother and my sister. But I had a mother that prayed. And sometimes we'll sit around and we'll reminisce and we'll talk about the things that we've seen God do and the way God has answered prayers and the stories that we've got. I mean, she tells stories on me all the time, but I can tell you some stories on her too. It goes both ways, just so everybody knows. You're not supposed to talk like that on Mother's Day. I'm sorry, I take it back. But sometimes we'll sit around and we'll reminisce. over the things we've seen God do, how God met needs, how God's put things together and all these things. Listen, I'm just simply saying I've come too far to and seen God bless too much for somebody to tell me it can't be done. I've seen God put things together that couldn't be put together. I've seen God bring men ends together to meet that couldn't be brought together to meet. I've seen God pay bills that couldn't be paid. I've seen God answer prayers that couldn't be answered. I've seen God do things that could not be done. And then I hear these young couples coming up that's got so much further of a head start than we had coming up, and they tell me that it can't be done and tell me that, you know, it's an impossibility, that there's not enough money and it's a different day and you know, inflation, all that stuff. And I'm here to tell you, I've seen God do too much that you're not going to tell me God can't do it again. Amen? And so I am the product of a godly mother who could have gone out and done anything she wanted, yet she prayed for her children and kept her children with her and kept her children in church and kept her children where God wanted them to be. I'm saying it can be done. It can be done. And motherhood is a very powerful thing. It's a very powerful thing. Children will grow up and they'll remember their dad, talk about what a man their dad was, but there will always be a particularly special place for their mother. When dad's working and doing what he can to keep the bills paid and keep the home together and keep, you know, food on the table and things, I tell you who's going to be there, who ought to be there. Sowing the Word of God in their heart. Sowing a godly example in their heart. Sowing what it is to be a Christian. Sowing what it is to be like Jesus into their heart, who ought to be there, is mom. Because they're not going to find that example in anyone else. Motherhood, last of all, I'll give you this very quickly and I'm done. Last of all, motherhood. All these things are wonderful and all these things are great, but most of all and more importantly than any of them, motherhood is a picture. Most important of all, it is a picture, just like here in our verse, of God's care for His people. Being a godly mother will make you more like Jesus. It'll make you more like His example. When God here talking to His people could have used any illustration of comfort and grace and mercy and care and tenderness, all those things, He used the example of a mother. And it's a picture, really, of what we should be. It's a picture of what God is for us. You know, whenever you think about that, that's the picture of really what God is for the sinner. I was thinking this morning, we were in Revelation, and all that wrath has fallen in those vile judgments there at the end of time. But if you read down through that next chapter, we were in 14, chapter 15 this morning. You read through 15 and then read through 16, the details of all those judgments, you'll find that after every judgment, man repented not. The judgment fell and man still hated God. You'll find at the Great White Throne Judgment, whenever man's been in hell for at least 1,000 years, they come up and stand before God, and they're still trying to justify themselves and still telling God, you know, God, you got it all wrong here. Because it's not judgment that leadeth you to repentance. And it's not wrath that leadeth thee to repentance. All those things are very real things. It's the goodness of God that leadeth thee to repentance. You know, for that lost sinner out there who realizes where they're at and realizes they're a sinner and realize they are abiding under the wrath of God, realize they are abiding under the judgment of God, the idea of a mother is one of the ideas that we have of God. That if you just come home, He's waiting with open arms to receive you. Motherhood is a picture. Thank God for godly mothers. You know, every young man ought to be praying that God would give him a wife who will be a godly mother. Every young lady ought to be praying and striving that God would not make her a good mother, but would make her a godly mother. Because there is no goodness without godliness. Amen. We ought to thank God for our mothers. We ought to pray for our mothers. We ought to pray for good godly mothers for our children to be and to marry and all those things. Because motherhood is a wonderful thing. I thank God for it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, for helping us with it. I pray that you'll take it and use it. Blessing the altar call, I pray that you'd speak to hearts. Help us, Lord, to respond to you as you'd have us to respond. And Lord, I know that your spirit can say what I cannot say to every heart. So, Lord, I pray that you'd speak to people this morning and help us, Lord, to obey thee and respond to thee. Have your perfect will and way in our hearts and our lives. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.